Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time to start thinking about stocking up for the big 4th of July weekend. Absolutely. Looking forward to it. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now to head over to the Hate Hut.
You know, I know you're not huge on these things, but as you know, Steve, I can't ignore stupid.
I'm not huge on a lot of things.
Exactly. But I know, I'm not sure if you saw the comments from Ja'Marr Chase. I think it was either last week or the week before where he was talking about Joe Burrow, comparing him, is he the best quarterback, with Pat Mahomes, stuff like that. And then he answers it by saying, Pat who? And then Travis Kelce does his podcast with his brother Jason, of course, of the Eagles, and he kind of went off about that. And I can't really blame him because, I mean, yes, if you're talking about the top quarterbacks in the league, it's Pat Mahomes and it's Joe Burrow. So if you want to, I think there's a way to go about protecting your quarterback and talking up your quarterback. But this is what he said. This Pat who? That's a little out of line. I mean, first of all, you know, he has beaten you before. He has won a couple of Super Bowls. You guys haven't yet. You've been to a Super Bowl recently, but you didn't win it. And not only that, too, I know we all have our different opinions about bulletin board material, but the point of this is, for me in this case, is whether you are a proponent of it or not, just don't put it out there. Just say it diplomatically, basically, for lack of a better word. Just be careful with what you say, especially when you know that if you're the Bengals, the Chiefs are your biggest rival and probably your biggest threat to try to get to the Super Bowl for the next couple of years. So just my question is, just why put it out there? Why? Why say Pat who and be a little out of line with that? Just say, you know what? Joe's our quarterback. We love Pat Mahomes is a good quarterback too, but Joe's my guy. He can win a Super Bowl for our franchise. That's all you have to say. You don't have to begin this stupid back and forth of Pat who, and then of course Pat responds with Pat who with a picture of him getting his new ring when the Chiefs got their Super Bowl rings a couple days ago. So I just thought that was a little out of line. The Pat who? I mean, come on. The guy's won two Super Bowls, two MVPs, and if you don't think he's the top quarterback in the league, I'm sorry. I don't know what you're watching. I don't care if Joe Burrow's your quarterback. I don't care if Jalen Hurts is your quarterback. Whatever. Pat Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL right now. I'm sorry.
I usually don't care about such things. And in this case, I really don't care. I will say this, that when it comes to somebody saying something where I sit back and go, you have to be kidding me. Let's remember a year ago, the guy who was the former GM of the Bills, who was working with, I guess he was doing, like, at one point he'd been in the Steelers front office, and he was on a show talking about how great the athlete is today in the game, and he made the statement that Jack Ham would be no more than the special teams player today. Remember that?
Yeah, that was also very dumb.
Was it David Wally or whatever the heck his name? I don't even know who he was. I mean, and I did make comments then Now, why did they make comments? Because it's one of my best friends here he was talking about, okay? Somebody I'm very tight with. And I was not exactly kind in my comments, and nor do I take a single comment back about what I thought about his opinion. And so I can understand why Travis Kelce reacted the way he did, because he reacted about his guy. Just like last year when somebody said something, quote, about my guy, I immediately on the show brought it up and lashed back and would not take back a single word I said today. In hindsight, should I have said anything different? No. I would not take a single word back. So I understand why Travis Kelce reacted the way he did. It's one of the problems that we have in some elements of professional sports. There's a lot of immaturity. And a lot of these guys are they need to be more mature about all this. Can we take a break?
Of course.
All right, back after this.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
With the 32nd pick in the 2023 NBA Draft, the Indiana Pacers select Jalen Pickett from Penn State University.
And that deal was actually for the Denver Nuggets. They selected him for the Nuggets. The draft played out pretty close to what we said. I said yesterday that I've been saying leading up that Seth Lundy was a lock to be picked in the second round, and I had said between 42 and 47. Okay? Well, that happens to be 46, and he fell right in there. I said that Derek Lively would be a top 15 pick, could be as high as 10. Well, the Mavericks had 10, okay, and dealt it to Oklahoma City in the Wallace deal, Caden Wallace, and or Cason Wallace, and he ended up being picked 12, so he fell right in the 10 to 15 spot. And I don't really know if I was that clear about this yesterday, but when I saw Denver had three picks, when Calvin made the move to get three picks, get one inside the first round, my thought process is one of those three picks was going to be for Jalen Pickett. But I thought it was going to be 37. I didn't think it was 32. I thought he'd be the 37 pick. So everybody ended up pretty close to where I thought they would end up. I'm thrilled for Jalen. So I'm thrilled for all three. So let's start with Jalen. The Jalen comes out of high school in Rochester and doesn't have any offers. I mean, none. So he goes to prep school for a year, comes out of prep school, and when he does, he ends up with three offers. Canisius, I think the other was Niagara, and Siena. He goes to Siena. He goes 3 years. Okay. And he knows he can play at a higher level. He really believes in himself. And so he ends up going to the Big Ten. He goes to Penn State. And we saw what he did in 2 years. I mean, if, you know, the first three and a half weeks of his Penn State career, I'm talking about game-wise, not training camp. Like, he got off to a slow start. And then he hit stride. When he hit stride, Dick Girardi and I were really impressed. And then this past season, he controlled the tempo of every game he was in, which was just tremendous. I mean, the three best players that were in the Big Ten this season were Trace Jackson Davis, ended up in Washington. So I'm telling you, Roger, I know you're listening. You're going to love having that guy on your team. That was a fabulous pick at 57 by the Wizards to get Trace Jackson Davis. Zach Edey and Jalen Pickett. So those were the guys that were the three best. Pickett plays a Jalen Brunson type of game. He thinks about everybody else on the floor and thinks of himself last. He will be somebody that Denver can turn to in certain spots when they want to give people breaks and still feel like the floor is under control. Michael Malone's going to love him. Seth Lundy is somebody that Dick Girardi and I have talked about for 2 years of being an NBA-style player. I think a lot of people heard us say that, maybe in particular heard me say that, and thought I was being prejudicial toward him. Now, look, I think the world of him, all right? But, you know, you're trying to be realistic about where people are going to get drafted. What did I say about Sean Clifford? Seventh-round pick, free agent, right? Okay, I said that about Sean Clifford. Think the world of him, too. He ended up being a fifth-round pick. He got drafted higher than I thought he would get drafted. So I try to be realistic about this stuff. This isn't me just talking with my heart here. And for 2 years, I watched him, and Dick and I both agreed, and we talked to enough. Remember, we talked to people. You know, NBA scouts are at games. We talk to them. NBA scouts are at the Big Ten tournament. We talk to them. And we were getting a read from everybody. They love this guy as a 3-and-D guy in the NBA. Well, the NBA loves 3-and-D guys. Can play the three spots, shoot the three ball, and can be an excellent wing defender. He fits all three. And so he ends up with Atlanta. That's a great spot for him to be in. Andrew Funk signed a free agent contract with the Denver Nuggets. Now, this is going to be him playing for the Summer League team. And he is going to be trying to play his way into a two-way deal. If you're asking about the Sixers have already filled all three of their two-way deals. They've already filled all three of them. So the Sixers were not an option in that regard. You know, one of the guys was Ricky Council out of Arkansas. He's not a bad player. You know, I saw him play a couple times out in Des Moines. And the DeBellis kid from Arizona is a good-looking player. Never saw him in person, just saw him on TV. But the Sixers already have fulfilled all three of their two-way deals. Denver hasn't fulfilled any of their two-way deals. So this will be a chance for Andrew to go out, play in the summer league, and prove to them that he should be one of the two-way guys. And with his shot, he is going to impress a lot of people with his lightning-quick release and the depth of the shot. And again, it's not like Calvin Booth doesn't. And let's face it, Andrew's going to have the advantage of having his point guard out there with him in the summer league because Jalen Pickett will be with him. Then there's Derek Lively. I am so happy for Kathy Drysdale. And Kathy was on TV last night. And this is her baby. And he's 7'2" now. Really can move. All right. great shot blocker, finishes around the basket, doesn't have much of a face-up game, but he ended up in a really good spot. Dallas is a really good spot for him to be in. It takes a lot of inside pressure off Doncic, and I think that's, you know, that'll be a big plus all the way through. And, you know, and I think all of them ended up in great spots. So happy for all of them along the way. I realize we're not done over at the Hate Hut.
No, I do have something else that irked me from last night, but I'm sure we'll get to it at some point.
Well, you can give everybody a hint. Everybody's all excited now as to... Yeah, I mean, you have people pulling over on the side of the road on 11 and 15. They want to know.
I'm sorry. It is another Yankee-related one. I tried to stay away because I've done a lot of Yankee stuff this week. I don't want to sound like a homer, but
this one week
is righteous. Well,
how about this year?
Well,
how about the last how many years?
I do try to look for other stuff in the sports world first before I go to my teams because I realize after a while no one wants to hear me complain about my teams every single day. So I do try to look for other stuff.
They're home again tonight.
I know. It's crazy.
I mean, does anybody on that team know where the airport is?
Well, they're going to know the second half of the season.
I mean, I don't think so. I think they're going to play 120 home games. Never seen anything like this. And I thought their performance last night was very impressive.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
And I thought they did a great job to rally to within 8.
That game was about as fun as it is potty training my two boys right now.
Well, the oldest one's 6. That's not good. No.
Trying to avoid that one.
I'm kidding. He's not 6, everybody. It's just an easy joke, okay? He's not 6, all right? He's exactly where he should be. Oh, man. But go ahead. What is it?
Well, it's all this because of how embarrassing last night's game is for the Yankees. Mm-hmm. I don't understand on ESPN, and of course this is ESPN.com, but everybody's talking about this, why there's so much hype around IKF getting a strikeout and then a home run in the same inning. He struck out a guy from Seattle in the 8th and then hit a home run in the 9th to make it an 8-run game. Who cares? The Yankees were awful last night. That's one of the worst games of the season. And all we're going to take away from that game is IKF struck out somebody, which is embarrassing on their part, then hit a home run in a 10-0 game in the 9th inning? Really?
Actually, I do want to talk about that when we come back. I know we have Mike at 3:45.
Yes.
But I do want to talk about that aspect of how sports is today.
Okay.
I don't just mean IKF. That's irrelevant to me. But it is an example of what I do want to talk about as an offshoot of that. How about that?
All right. There you go. Because I think I'm going to agree with you on this. I think I know where you're going to go with this.
All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports Domestics Microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studios, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. IKF, what, he pitched and he hit a home run?
Correct.
Something like that.
Okay. Struck out somebody and then hit a home run to make it 10-2. Yeah.
That's fine. So let's. This has become one of the problems that I have with how sports is covered today. I do appreciate individual achievement very much. But when I'm covering team sports, to me, it's about the team. So one of the truly great performances I ever saw any Penn State player have was the night Saquon Barkley had a game of all games against Iowa in 2017. But what made that game really special, all right, was the fact that Penn State won the game. If they hadn't won the game, I'd be like, oh, I don't know. And that was a great performance, but. Right? When Jalen Pickett had 41 points against Illinois, what made it a great game? Penn State won the game. And in the end, I'm seeing too many headlines where the individual does XXX, then you read the story and they lost. And that's, you know, that's the part that I don't, you know, that's the part of trouble I'm having with how things are covered today. To me, it's who won, who lost, who's the big reason why somebody won, all right? And then in the notes section as a side story, oh, by the way, in a loss, IKF struck out someone as a pitcher because they didn't want to waste anybody in the bullpen. And hit a home run. That's like a note at the end. It's not a headline.
Could not agree more. Because also, if you're covering the team that lost, especially the way the Yankees did last night, perhaps you should focus on why they lost, especially because how awful they were. Domingo Germán was atrocious yet again. He's given up 17 runs now in his last two starts. They made errors last night. I mean, there's other things you could talk about with a loss like that.
But see, but you're missing another part, though. Why did Seattle win? It isn't always your team winning and losing. And remember, the other side has paid professionals, too. And they did what were the things they did right to win the game?
Right, definitely.
And on this particular night, they did all this right. Again, is it noteworthy that IKF did this? Yes, it's noteworthy. But at the end of the story under notes, you mention it. It's not a headline. It's not a, okay? Now, who knows? This may have been put out by the team in its release where, I'll give you an example of how things have gone with some teams, for example. Do you know how hard it is for me sometimes when I'm sitting there and doing off-season work and I just get to the part, head coach, name, and then I would just want to have their record with the team and then their overall career record based on all the teams they've been head coach of? You know how hard it is to find that stuff now? You sit there and go, well, I mean, game notes. You'd think it would be, nope, not in the game notes. What? Tom Izzo's happy to be, yeah.
But like so other people, like why do I have to now go to Wikipedia to go look up what your career record is? I mean, that's, you know. I mean, that's how I look at it.
I'm with you 100%.
And again, I don't mind individual achievements like, you know, they come out, hey, X scores 50 points. You know, Kevin Durant scores 50 points, Suns beat Lakers. Okay, well, yeah. Right? But to me, it's about the winning and the losing and why the winning happened. Now, I realize it's your team, so you're concentrating on the losing part of it, right? Because it's your team, right? I always concentrate on the winning part of it. Why did the other team win? Or why did the team I'm following win? You know, you can pick out mistakes. You can pick out mistakes even on the winning team, for goodness sakes. So. So just, you know, that's just a thought on that. You know, that we need to concentrate on the winning part, the team part, and then which individuals then swung it. You know, because too often I'm reading headlines on ESPN, then I'll go to look it up. I'll look it up and I'll say to myself, like, they lost. I'll put down either the iPad or phone, and I was like, why did I click on that? Now I don't even click on it anymore. Right? If I see the headline, I then click into the score section to see if they won the game or not. I don't even bother clicking on the story anymore. I'm not going to give them the benefit of that. I'm not going to. That's how I look at it. Mike Muscala next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet Reagan Street, Sunbury wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
All right, joined now by Mike Muscala. Mike, always a pleasure. Great to have you back.
Hey, Steve. Yeah, thanks for having me. How you doing?
Doing really well. How about you?
I'm good, thanks.
And congratulations on what's a great honor, obviously. What does that mean to you?
It's a big honor. Just reminds me of the fun 4 years there. You know, we spent it with my teammates, and just grateful for the coaches I had there, really. I mean, feel like I just improved a lot as a player and as a person, and always good memories. So it'll be fun to go back there in September.
What do all of those people mean to you as to the foundation they gave you that allowed you to succeed at the next level?
They were all really competitive, and they wanted to improve. My teammates and Dave Paulson and Dave Fisher, Aaron Kelly, the coaches, you know, playing with Bryson Johnson and Joe Wilman in my class, and some of the, even the older guys like Dale Shazer, Brian Cohen, Pat Bean. So, I mean, really just like learning from them and being around them every day in such a, you know, a tight-knit, you know, focused campus like Bucknell. It just it made for a good, challenging 4 years. So it just reminds me of all that.
You come out of, if I recall correctly, Mike, out of Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I just watched Jalen Pickett get drafted into your league. And Jalen, when he came out of high school in Rochester, had no offers. Went to prep school for a year. Then when he came out of prep school, he had offers from Canisius, Niagara, Siena. Right? Then eventually, after 3 years, got to Penn State. What were your offers out of high school, and why Bucknell?
The other school I was strongly considering was Santa Clara, California.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Steve Nash.
That's right, yeah. But I chose Bucknell because Dane Fisher, the assistant coach at the time, he's now the head coach at William & Mary, he recruited me primarily and got on the phone with him, and then Dave Paulson joined too, and just I felt like a natural connection with them. And then I went to visit the campus in August, just for an unofficial visit, going into my senior year of high school, and it was just a beautiful day, and I met with the professor, and I don't know, I'd never really been on a campus, and it just felt right, you know, deep down. So I decided that day on the unofficial visit that I'd join.
Mike, when I've said this once, I've said it 1,000 times on the show, but I'll repeat it here. And it's not just about you. It's anybody that's in your situation. The respect I have for players who have the ability at the professional level to keep their careers alive and to keep going, my respect is off the charts. It takes a lot to do that. You've had a lot of visits in a lot of different places and a lot of different cities, and there's about to be a new one coming up. What has it taken for you to keep your career alive and to keep your game relevant in the league?
Well, thank you, first of all. And it varies, I think, you know, throughout the years. But I think as my career gets closer to ending, you know, and seeing all the great young players that are entering the league, there's just a sense of, you know, gratitude, I think, mostly is a big motivator for me, just feeling grateful for being able to still play the game and have an opportunity to play, you know, wherever it is. And the fact that it's still in the NBA right now, I feel grateful. So I think that's probably the biggest, you know, factor for me right now. You know, when I was younger, it was, you know, I'm still competitive, but, you know, it was a little bit different, you know, when I was younger. But to be around that and then to be able to help kind of, you know, mentor some of the younger players a little bit, because I've gone through, you know, a fair amount in my 10 years in the league, is also rewarding. And then also playing on the Celtics this past year was really fun too. I mean, they were a great team, great players, and, you know, to be back in the playoffs and just, even though I wasn't playing, really just to be around that high level of basketball in the playoffs was really fun.
I'm sure it was. Now, I mean, let's face it, how surprised were you that you were dealt in the Porzingis trade, and just what was your reaction? Because obviously you've been a lot of different places, so how do you react when something like that happens?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm kind of used to it now at this point, you know? I was just talking with my agent yesterday, and
right. We're
just kind of counting all the different teams I've been on. And I actually ran into Landry Shamet today. I'm out in New York City for a weekend, actually hanging out with some Bucknell guys, and ran into Landry. And we were teammates together on the Sixers, and both got traded at the same time to the Clippers, actually. And I just told him it was his first year, you know, and I just said, listen, you're going to learn a lot from this. You know, being a young player, having to go through something like this, getting traded, just embrace it. And to see him now again after he's, you know, been on a few different teams since then, we just kind of laughed about it. And it seems like he's matured so much, you know, from that time. And so I think that's just kind of how I approach it, just like, you know, getting a chance to be in a new city, being in an organization, you know, sometimes change is not the most fun, but you can learn so much from it. And I feel like even this past year, getting traded from Oklahoma City, the Thunder, and had a really good time there for a couple of years, you know, getting traded to Boston during the middle of the season, it was like, it was fun, you know, and I learned a lot from it, even though there were some parts that were a little bit challenging.
By the way, this is Team 6 for the fans. So,
yeah.
Along the way. Obviously, Shamet was in the Bradley Beal deal. How do you want to approach it in Washington? I mean, you talked about mentoring younger players. This is going to be a young team. Is that part of your mindset going in? Obviously, you want to do everything you can to get your minutes play well, but is mentoring going to be part of it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but yeah, definitely still love to play the game. You know, I feel like I'm in great shape. Been training hard, even though the season just, you know, ended for us, you know, 3 weeks to a month ago. But just trying to get healthy, you know, the older I get, just valuing, just trying to be in shape, you know, keep shooting the ball and just having fun out there. You know, I do think I want to coach at some point when I'm done playing. So just kind of approaching the game a little bit, you know, from that mindset while still being able to be a player for me is really fun. Mm-hmm. And playing in a pro-am this summer too in Minnesota, putting a little team together. So that'll be a fun little project. Good. Just to be in shape. Yeah.
That'll be great. The coaching part of it. I watched Juwan Howard for a long time. Obviously, when he was with Miami, did a lot of helping out with the coaching staff near the tail end of his career. Now I watch him all the time at Michigan, especially when they're playing Penn State. Is there anybody you're trying to look at to maybe mentor you as a possible coach down the road?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I was just connected to Jay Wright through another former Bucknell alum. So we haven't actually spoken yet, but that would be, you know, that would be a blessing. I guess for me right now, you know, when I was in, well, on the Celtics, there was an assistant coach there. He's now moved out of the Rockets, but Ben Sullivan, he kind of took me under his wing a little bit. You know, I told him that I was interested in coaching, and so he took me up to his office on a game day, and he had the scout for that game. And so what they do in the NBA is, you know, there's a lot of different games, a lot of different teams, obviously. So they break up, you know, different teams and scouting reports to different assistant coaches. So he took me up there and just showed me what he, you know, what his mindset was, what his process was for putting together these clips that he was going to eventually show the team. So later on when I saw him, it was kind of cool to see that, you know. But I guess for now, just kind of trying to pick up bits and pieces and just still be focused on the playing part. But, you know, we'll see as it gets closer to retirement.
Was there a player that in your career, all these stops, yeah, I should mention Team 7 was actually Dallas who drafted you, but was there anybody along the way that was a stop for you where you benefited greatly from the knowledge of that player?
I mean, playing with Chris Paul in Oklahoma City, he was there, you know, there for 1 year during that bubble year. It was really fun. You know, he was a great leader, and he just really showed me, like, when you believe in yourself and, you know, you can accomplish a lot. Like, they gave us a very slim chance of making the playoffs this year, or that year, rather. And he just came in with a lot of confidence and, you know, attention to detail, and we ended up having a pretty good year. So I would say that stands out to me.
Yeah, well, it's how would you describe the experience of the NBA, the travel of it, the arenas, the 82-game grind of it? How would you describe it?
From a broad sense, let's see. You know, it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot of travel. You know, there are late nights. You know, we're not landing until, you know, 2-3 a.m. back wherever you are. Sometimes there are back-to-back games. Obviously, they've kind of cut down on those. But you know, I think, like, as the years have gone on for me, it just feels like much more of a bigger community than I first felt. You know, I think that's probably because I've been traded, you know, quite a few times. But You know, just the fact that even as you see now with the draft happening and, you know, as free agency comes up, how often, you know, guys are kind of moving around to different teams and all that. It's just, it's a cool league, you know, because there's just all these, you know, rules in place to try to, you know, create a sense of, you know, fairness in a way so that the competition remains high. And so as the years have gone on for me, I've just grown to really, you know, appreciate that side of it, you know, where it's kind of like a chess game to some of these general managers. And then you got these young fellas coming in that, you know, continue to push the game forward in terms of their athleticism and their skills. So it just feels like a, you know, a good mix of those two things, you know, some more old school principles and the business side, you know, compared, also coupled with, you know, high level of basketball.
Well, I just watched a guy that was in the league for 10 years, played with a bunch of teams, ended up in management, and ended up being the GM of the Denver Nuggets, Calvin Booth. Your path is far from done. Mike, thanks so much. Congratulations on an honor you richly deserve, and I congratulate you. Some people would like to spend 10 minutes on the floor of an NBA game. You've already spent 10 years, so congratulations.
Thank you, Steve. It's always a pleasure talking with you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Muscala. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.